In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to this fourth Sunday in Advent as we gather together in worship of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please take time to sign the welcome pads that you will find at the end of the pews and to pass them down the pew so that you may greet one another by name following the worship service. We're glad to have those of you who are visiting with us, some of you from afar and parts of our past and present. We're glad that you're here. We hope that if you are new to this congregation, that you will make your presence known to those around you and let us know how we might welcome you to our midst. Please join us for a time of coffee fellowship in the Hope Room immediately behind the sanctuary after worship this morning and after a very brief congregational meeting at which the members are called to act upon pastor's terms of call for next year. So please plan to stay following the benediction for that congregational meeting here. Those who are visiting with us or non-members are welcome to go on to coffee hour ahead of us if you would like, or you may stay and see what this is all about. This is the last day to purchase alternative giving gifts for Christmas. Thank you very much for the support that you have made to almost 10 different missions that support alternative ways of reaching out into our community. A big thank you yesterday for all of those who helped with Parents Day Out. I hope that parents had a good day out because those of us who were with your kids had a great time with them yesterday and enjoyed that time of fellowship and community together there. You're reminded that our Christmas Eve service tomorrow night is at 5 o'clock, and the costuming for the Walk-On Nativity is a little bit different this year, so you do not need to come very early for that, but it is early in the service, so don't be late beyond 5 o'clock. Are there other announcements this morning to be raised?
I'm going to be selling Girl Scout cookies again after church in the Hope Room. So if you would like to buy some Girl Scout cookies, they're $4 a box, so you can see me in the Hope Room after church. Thank you.
Okay. Call forward the chancel clock.
Watch and wait for Christ's coming. light candles of hope, peace, joy, and love, remembering the promise of God with prayer.
We light this candle in hope. We light this candle for peace.
We light this candle of joy. We light this candle of love.
Again, the word of the Lord, drawn from Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God will rejoice over you with gladness. God will quiet you with divine love, like a child upon the breast. The Lord will exult over you with loud singing.
Let us pray. God of hope, God of peace, God of joy, and God of love, teach us how to love one another as reflections of your light in the world. God of promise, God of love, into your darkness come.
Let us stand and join together our opening hymn, Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. No more let sin and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love.
We know that we live in a world which falls short of God's great love, and we are part of that sin. Help us to turn to you in all honesty in a time of prayer, O God, seeking to live as our Lord calls and to be renewed through the grace of forgiveness. Let us join our hearts in prayers, first in a time of silent prayer, then praying together our prayer in the bulletin. God of love, our human love is imperfect. We confess that we seek too often the things which do not truly satisfy or bring life to others and those we profess to love. Our vision is narrow and self-centered. You have taught us and call us to do better, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with you. Help us to not be afraid, to boldly follow where you would lead us, and when we fall short, by your mercy, forgive us. Grant us wisdom to welcome your way and to seek things that will endure when Christ comes to judge the world. Amen. Our song of confession this morning is offered by the worship band, The Gift That He Gave, written by Lynn Fisher.
Sweet baby Jesus, how can this be? You left your father to be born here this night. What kind of love makes God become man? What kind of mercy could make such a plan? And if I forget why you came, and if I put my hope too much in the gifts, then remind me, Lord Jesus, why you came. Christmas is about you, Jesus, Son of God. I see the presents under the tree. It's almost time now. Which ones are for me? How did we get here? How far did we stray? What about Jesus and the gift that he gave? And if I forget why you came, and if I put my hope too much in the gifts, then remind me, Lord Jesus, why you came. Christmas is about you, Jesus, Son of God. Christmas is about you, Jesus, Son of God.
All whose spirits hunger for God discover how richly we have been fed. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus, we are forgiven. Amen.
as we are heading towards joy, I'm concerned. Every time I hold the mic, I'm concerned about if it's working or not. So I'm glad it's working. So this day is a very special day for us as the Fourth Advent to share our joy and remember even the concern of others if we didn't have one.
Just want to ask prayers for my brother and sister-in-law that this Christmas I know will be a little bit hard for them, so prayers for them. And also thank God for last week, one of their youngest daughter finished school too and went to graduation. She's a full nurse now and everybody's happy, so thank God for that.
Two items, if I may. First, I'd like to celebrate seeing Monica back up with the violin tucked under her chin. Monica, it's great to see you there. Congratulations. The second's a little more complicated. For those of you who don't know, I'm actually president of a small hospital in Connecticut. And this week, on Monday morning, I got a phone call from the governor's office. As the state of Connecticut, like many states, are going through very tough budget times. And I was informed that the budget cuts that were going through on Wednesday of last week were going to result in about a $3.5 million immediate reduction to our organization. And we employ about 1,400 people. And as the timing would have it, January 3rd is our annual meeting when the plan had been in my presentation to the group to celebrate what has been a real successful year in the past year, now turns on a dime to be a what at the moment feels like an insurmountable problem. So I guess I ask for your prayers for strength and wisdom as I approach this in the next 2 weeks. Thank you.
I have two joys today. I had an early Christmas present. My granddaughter presented me with my 15th great-grandchild, a lovely little girl named Milana Lynn. My second joy is, my goodness, I don't know about this. In July, I've been informed that I'm going to be a great-great-grandmother. Wow.
Want to thank God. Our daughter Annette just turned 8. She was a preemie 2 pounds, and we really praise God that she turned 8 this weekend. We also want to thank each one of you for your continued support towards Ashley's adoption, and would like to let you know that we've been approved by the U.S. government for the adoption, which we really thank God for. She was also approved by the National Adoption Council in Kenya for the adoption to go on. We are really, really thankful for those two steps. We are thankful that you have all contributed so much that we are just remaining towards the very end, and we are really thankful. We know that it will happen. We still have 5 more steps to go through, and we pray that we will not be hindered in any one of those steps. God bless you.
We are happy that Jamie turned 18 this week, so she had her birthday. And I'd also love your prayers next week in between Christmas and New Year's. I will be at an InterVarsity Missions Conference. It's called Urbana. It happens once every 3 years, and there are about 16,000 students from all over the country and the world who will be there exploring God's call on their lives, and there are 2 grad students from Brown that will be joining me there and would love your prayers for that time. Thanks.
We have a lot of
family traveling towards us in the next few days. My brother and his family arrived from North Carolina yesterday, and my husband's parents arrived from Georgia and Hawaii today. And in a few days, my brother's family heads for Israel. So just prayers of thanksgiving for family being together and prayers for safe and smooth travels for all of them.
Good morning. Her name was Ibere Roca, my mother. If she was alive today, exactly today, she would be 84. I thank God for her because she was my mother. She was my mother. Second joy. He is 11 years old, a boy. He was taught to understand Christianism as a dumb thing. Christianism in his family was only for poor, illiterate, ignorant people. This past week, God gave me the opportunity to give to the family an activity scene very similar to this one here on the piano. And the most nice thing, the nicest thing, was that the boy is 11-year-old boy. He draw the star. And he put there. God's good. God is good.
Thank you.
I'd like continued prayers for Walter and for Junior, who's not doing very well. And also for my brother, who just recently underwent an injection in his back for back pain.
Let us pray. Gracious and wondrous God, you are creator, creator and creating and healing still. We lift our hearts in prayer to you in thanksgiving and in asking again for your grace, your light to shine forth to a hurting people and world. We pray, O Lord, for all places of war and violence. Lord, may your healing come. We pray for places of hardship and families of unemployment, for the state of Connecticut, and for Bob's wisdom and prayers of strength with all of his staff as they work with his hospital in these drastic cuts to be undertaken. We give thanks, O God, even as we raise prayers to you that we might see prayers answered. For evidence of your healing and empowering presence in an 11-year-old boy, in Jamie's birthday, in Ashley's adoption, in the wonder of many great-grandsons and great-great-grandchildren for Marilyn, for Monica's return to us with violin in this holy season. We lift our prayers to you, O God, for healing of body, mind, and spirit as only you may know for those that are in our hearts and those spoken out loud today, for the continuing grief and healing of the people of Newtown and our country as we seek paths away from violence, for Walter and Junior and Bill, for Priscilla's extended family in this first season of loss, even as they are able to celebrate another daughter. We pray for all those who grieve, for losses near and far, spoken and unspoken in our hearts. Help us, O God, to be a people of comfort and even joy as we reach out to one another. We pray your safety, O God, upon all who travel in these days, for the opportunity to rejoin family, and for those who are unable to travel to loved ones. We pray for those who will gather at the Urbana Conference and for the Bernier family near and far. We give thanks, O God, that you join us together as a community of hope and promise as we celebrate baptism this morning yet again. May our church and all churches be a true witness reflecting your grace, your power, and your love to people in need. Open our hearts to those who need to hear that message. Make us mindful of our blessings and help us to be your servants wherever we may find ourselves. Let us follow the one who came to earth, who is God with us, humble, and who teaches us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our children are invited up to sing and bring the children's message this morning.
Merry Christmas from the children.
The children are excused to go down to their classes this morning.
Good morning. This morning's Old Testament lesson is from Micah, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Now you are walled around with a wall. Siege is laid against us. With a rod they strike the ruler of Israel upon the cheek. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. And our New Testament lesson is from Luke, chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown great strength. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. And I want you to think, is it really a good morning? And if it's a good morning, why? So we have a very traditional way of set up and putting the Christmas down. And as far as, I don't know how the variety of ages here, but I'm sure everybody here celebrated Christmas many times. And we know about the joy and the love and the peace and all these wonderful things. But if it's just a repeating, it's like you watching a movie for like 20 times or 50 times. And knowing the clue, you get the idea, you know the what's really hidden there. So there is no much really energy. You know, you watch the movie many times. So if it's a Christmas really like a movie or a drama, I'm sorry to tell you, that would be a boring drama. But if it's about something different, we should find the secret engine that's power our joy today to make this Christmas different and make it something unique. And the story today is about this young lady who was pregnant and just running around to to share her joy. This is the good piece everybody wants to relate to. This is a powerful, wonderful young lady who is proud of her young age pregnancy. I didn't think that's the whole story. It's a joy, but I think was mixed with concern. And if you go back and read the story, like a couple verses before, even before she met Elizabeth, this young lady, she was courage enough to ask the angel, how could this happen to me? I think she wasn't just a young teenager and was all apologized to teenagers. As just running off and just taking everything in less mature way. You can see there is a maturity in her way of engaging with God. It's not only because God is telling you that's what's going to happen to you, so you have to say no question and no wonder. She actually wondered, and she was questioning how this could happen to me. And somehow she jumped from this wonder and questions and troubles to the other side of, let's celebrate that. And just this celebration, this joy, the song of joy and gratitude. As you may notice, the title of this sermon, maybe I could just put, it's a song of joy. But I felt the word gratitude reflected deeper joys. We can joy because it's in fiction. Everybody is happy. Everybody's Christmas. Everybody is nicely dressed. Everybody is having a different spirit. Everybody is more nicer. But I think this joy here came from an area where this young lady never thought she will be in that unique position. She didn't ask to be a father of a prophet or a wonderful teacher. She's too young even to dream. She's too young even to think about the future. And I think this gratitude came from, is it me? Are you serious? Do I deserve that? And this joy was very profound because with no agenda and no expectation. The joy that came from a great gratitude reflects that the joy is about something unexpected, not granted. It's the joy of seeing the impossible become possible. It's the joy of seeing the future is not far away, it's actually here. I feel it inside me. It's something getting bigger and bigger. It's not just being hallucinating and think about this wonderful life we could live someday in God. But it's about the reality of actually this life could start here and now. This joy we didn't need to hold until, excuse me, until the next life we actually can start enjoy the Christmas spirit today. And I like to share part of a story where I can relate to this joy and gratitude to Mary's story. As most of you know, I was born in Egypt in a Christian family, which we lived in a village called Tayeba, which is located in the Minya province of Egypt. It's like 4 hours southern Cairo. I don't expect you to know where I came from exactly, but I want you to just imagine I came from far away. I am the second 5 boys in a lower middle class family. And poor mom have 5 boys running around the house. My dad worked in a government electric company, even with no education. But he was really privileged because he was in a war for 6 years between Israel and Egypt and Israel between the 1967 until the 1973. And out of that, the government honored people who was in war for 6 years. So my dad was lucky enough, even with no education, to get this very unique, well-paid, according to our criteria in Egypt, job. And I thank God for this family. As a Coptic and as a Christian and as almost no education for my parents. But really, spend every penny on us to send us to school. They believed what we can do, maybe our children can do. They believed in something they cannot see yet, but they believe it. Even as a minority, there are some ways you can just complain about you will never make it. You are a minority in every aspect. But also the other good side of being a minority, you really need to work hard to make your way. So as a minority, education is one privilege for us. But I think without somebody is believing in you, when you are a baby, you didn't know how to say any word. You didn't know what good future could be. They are investing. They look like crazy people. They're putting every penny and putting their future on the edge. But it's because it's love. When love is true, sometimes it seems crazy. When love is really profound, we can say things people will review us as maybe immature, unrealistic, all these words. But when people go through the same experience, like Elizabeth, that's where Mary can find somebody understand. I have been there. I have been there when my Jewish community, and it's the worst two categories, to be a Jewish woman and to be a Middle Eastern woman. And Elizabeth fit under these two categories. Because as a Jewish, when you didn't have kids out of your body, that means God is not blessing you. And it's not only God not blessing you, but also there is a lot of rumors why God is not blessing you. So it was a very big burden, not only to dealing with her own suffering and not being able to have a child like the rest of the community. Because women are not powerful by themselves. They have to have a male. And even if they have a female, a child, it could work a little bit, but not the best. But the best is to have a male child. This is the culture was there. So just imagine the personal struggle of Elizabeth. And it's normal to give up on her dream of having one day a child. And according to the story, Luke is telling us there is a connection between the preparation of Elizabeth as the mother and John the Baptist as the one who was preparing for the son. They were related physically, and some interpretations say they were cousins. But I think Luke wasn't really interested in the physical connection. I think Luke was really interested on the spiritual connection and how they work to prepare the road to each other. And we can see Luke is preparing the scene as Elizabeth is really passing her experience and her love to Mary, preparing the road. He is telling her about even being a pregnant, telling her about how to deal with the experience and honoring her experience. And tell her, I believe in you, Mary. I believe you are not off. I know you are just saying something sound crazy and hard to believe. But I believe it because that's the same thing when I'm an old lady, nobody believes someday I will bear my own child. I know when people will judge me about how this happened. But do not be concerned about how much people are going to review you. Be concerned about where your heart is leading you toward. And she was feeling in her heart is there is something is happening to her. There is something is really guiding me. And here is somebody I'm coming to, maybe to complain and to share. And even before I open my mouth, Elizabeth introduced her to Mary as you are the father of my Lord. You are the father of my teacher. Your peace, I felt this peace. And we can go to a different way, try to understand that. But the presence of peace was real. And when people share with me about their feeling and how their feeling could be really very hard and they can't say it with any other person, and the expectation, if you disagree with me, you do not honor my feeling. And here's one thing I learned, and I hope I will keep learning from being a chaplain. It's to honor people's feeling, because it's real. It's irrational, it's immature, put whatever category you want to put it. But whatever they feel, it's real for them. And what Elizabeth felt was real. She felt peace. Do not miss the feeling and the really the presence of God, which is will stay be a mystery. And thanks to God, we cannot understand everything about God. To keep there is an open window to discuss, to challenge, and to see God in a different way. And as I mentioned about my family in the beginning of my sermon, but there is another person I like to talk about before I close my sermon. It was my pastor. And every time I talk about my pastor, I talk with him about him with really highly respect. And because of what he did to me. He was the one, he took me from being non-educated, no interest in anything what I'm interested right now. And he believed in me. He saw something nobody can ever see, being a pastor or minister. Even I reviewed myself earlier in my life as I could be anything else and not a pastor. It's very interesting when we feel, when we meet people this way. When we meet people who could reveal something. And I think it's not only about being smart. And I think it's not only about being really holding a lot of talents. I think it's about being understanding the people in the dark can someday see the light. The people with no privilege, when they are someday on the seat, they can pass these privileges to others. And the wonderful image from what Mary said here, there are many wonderful images, but one image I like really to keep with you. God is willing to get in trouble for you. And there is one verse where she said, God shows his strength. And she used an image was as a Middle Eastern, I can understand it very well. Because as we are loving and hospitable culture, we are violent culture in some way. So she used an image which is really, I saw it even as a child. She said God is bearing his arm, which is really like he's exposing his arm. And this way only people do it when they are getting in fight. And it's like a warn. When you want to warn somebody you are serious about your situation, you actually start to put your clothes up. And this was very interesting. That's how she reviewed God as somebody is not going to stand away because there is always there is a fight. There is two groups or two people, and there is people who are interested watching outside. And she sees God is not somebody just watching on the outside, but he's really in. He is willing to get in trouble. He is putting actually say, don't hurt this little one. And actually kind of like covering the little one and standing in front and say, if you are in trouble, you are in trouble with me. This is a very powerful image. This kind of God is not running to kill people and throwing people over the throne and sound like God is having fun with really putting the powerful people down. That's not the whole image. He's actually trying to make a neutral scene, trying to bring justice to our life. Can you imagine the joy today? God is really in love with us to the limit where he can get in trouble. God is willing to get in trouble for us. But we are not that good. We are not that perfect. We are not that mature. We are not that smart. We are not all these things. Yes, you fit very well to God's category. That's why she said, God did all these things because I am his servant. I am humble. And I think this is the depth of the joy we can see today. And the last verse about most of the translation, verse 53. Words will say, he filled them about the poor, how God has really brought justice to the poor and filled them. And only one translation, it's the Message book, said, God brought satisfaction to their hearts. And I like the satisfaction more than the felt. Because we can have many things filled in our life. We can run with many things in our life. We are now in a very busy season with many things keeps us busy. But is this really makes us satisfied? We are very busy, but there is really still a hole inside our spirit and our soul. We are receiving all these gifts and giving all these gifts. It's wonderful to do that. But is this really taking us deeper to who we are and what we were created for? This story is about many things, but one thing I'd like to leave with you is about the courage that can change our despair and confusion. The courage that switch our mood to reconsider or revisit our old vision or our old belief. And God is telling us today, do not give up on the Christmas spirit. Do not give up on the joy, because there is a way we can renew this joy day by day. I pray for all of us to experience the Christmas spirit as new as it was like this is the first time to celebrate Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray.
As our youngest children have front row seats, we'd like to invite forward the Bay family for the baptism of the newest Bay baby.
Hear the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And I am with you always to the end of the age. Obeying the word of our Lord Jesus and sure of his presence with us, we baptize those whom he has called to be his own. In Jesus Christ, God has promised to forgive our sins and has joined us together in the family of faith, which is his church. He has delivered us from darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. In Jesus Christ, God has promised to be our Father and to welcome us as brothers and sisters of Christ. Know that the promises of God are for you. By baptism, God puts his sign on you to show that you belong to him and give you the Holy Spirit as grantee that, sharing Christ's reconciliation work, you will also share his victory, that dying with Christ to sin, you will be raised with him to new life.
Dave and Gina, in presenting Dawson for baptism, you announce your own faith in Jesus Christ and show that you want him to study Jesus, to know him, to love him, and to serve him as a chosen disciple. Show your purpose by answering these questions. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you trust in him? Do you intend Dawson to be his disciple, to obey his word and show his love?
and to you, the congregation, our Lord Jesus Christ ordered us to teach those who are baptized. Do you, the people of the church, promise to tell this new disciple, Dawson, the good news of the gospel, to help him to know that all that Christ commands, and by your fellowship, to strengthen his family ties with the household of God? If so, say we do.
We do.
Let us pray. God of grace, we thank you for your faithfulness promised in these sacraments and for the hope we have in your Son, Jesus. As we baptize with water, baptize us with your Holy Spirit, so that we say, may be your word and what we do be your work. By your power, may we be made one with Christ, our Lord, in common faith and purpose.
What is your child's Christian name? With this water that I have brought back from the River Jordan, we baptize Dawson Junki Bay. Dawson Junki Bay, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Child of the covenant, you are now welcomed into Jesus' one holy and Catholic church. Oh, first one to cry on me in 10 years. See what love God has brought upon us, that we may be called children of God, and so we are. We welcome you into this covenant of faith, this community of faith with Leah and Sophie and your mom and dad this day and always, and you're not sure about this, but with joy that you will be nurtured here and enjoy our fellowship and our love and the support and care for everyone in these days. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who in your infinite mercy and goodness has promised that you will be not only our God, but also the God of and parent of our children, we humbly pray for your child, Dawson, that your spirit may be upon him and dwell in him forever. Take him under your care and protection. Guide him and bless him in body and soul. Grant him to grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and all people. Abundantly enrich him with your heavenly grace. Bring him safely through the perils of childhood. Deliver him from the temptations of youth and lead him to witness a good confession and to preserve unto the end. O God, our Creator, give unto your servant Gina and Dave, to whom you gave in this blessed trust, the assurance of your unfailing providence and care. Guide them with your counsel as they teach and train Dawson and Sophie and Liam, and help them to lead their household into an ever-increasing knowledge of Christ and a more steadfast obedience to his will. We commend to you, to your godly care, all the children and families of this congregation. Help us in our homes to honor you, and by our love to serve one another and our neighbors. And to your name be all blessing and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Congratulations. There you go. There's Mom.
It is now time for our offering. giving thanks to God who has richly blessed us in our lives, we will now receive the tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this Advent season is a reminder of the greatest gift that we have been blessed to receive. Let the gifts and offerings we have received here today further bless our church and the lives of others. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you.
Remember, the Lord taught us the peace he will give to us, the joy and the love. Nobody can take it away from us. Go in the Christmas spirit. Enjoy it and spread it around. Amen.
Members, please be seated as we conduct a brief congregational meeting for the purpose of approving terms of call. Brooke is going to be passing out those, and maybe, Jade, maybe if you could help pass out maybe those terms of call. Let us begin with prayer. Gracious God, we give thanks that you have blessed us in this year. And we pray for your spirit as we prepare our hearts and minds for a new year, that you would continue to bless this congregation, its ministry, and our work together as your people. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Bob Smanek is our current chair of the Personnel Committee and is going to bring the reported terms of call forward for you to consider today. And we will, when there is after they are presented, when there is discussion, we as pastors will leave the room so that you may discuss freely what you need to discuss. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Chris. As hopefully you have in front of you now, as Brooke has distributed them, terms of call, and every year it is our responsibility to meet in a gathering such as this and to act on any changes in our compensation program with our co-pastors. The Personnel Committee gathered Monday night, and honestly, my head was a little bit turned upside down, as I mentioned, changes in my life at work. So I want to particularly thank Judy for her assistance through the meeting, and Lori Gerard. I may need to have them help if I get something confused here. The general sense of the Personnel Committee purpose is twofold. One is to provide feedback to our staff, and two is to work through the work on the call. I just wanted to quickly share that, you know, a year ago, none of us had expected that the working routine of our church would be, in a sense, challenged, turned upside down, with the announcement soon to follow by our then co-pastor, Dave Watermulder. And as we can reflect, it put enormous stress on our staff and all of us, and the Personnel Committee just wanted to, one, thank all of you for your hanging in there this year, as we've had a remarkable year in spite of the challenge, and also conveyed that to the staff, that whether it was Elena's remark that as we enjoyed, such a variety of preachers and folks who stepped up to assist us and Chris, she had the anxiety of trying to figure out how to get the music all together, and depending on what kind of lead time she had, you know, Dan and Brooke and their work in stepping forward this year, and Chris and her remarkable energy and attention to all of us during this year. So the conclusion of and the recommendation of the Personnel Committee is that we wish on all of our behalf to adjust the compensation by 2.5% from the, quote, package as it has existed this year, as it would move into next year. On the terms of call, where that really is most effective or most prevalent or visible to us is in the categories of salary and housing. Our pastors, like others in the field of ministry, have the opportunity through our IRS tax code to allocate